Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater program, 199 in the series, Lisa. Oh, my goodness,
Carl.
Gracious. One more show, and we're at the big 200.
So what are you going to do about it, Carl?
I don't know. We'll have to figure something out. Maybe we'll ask our listeners what we should do tomorrow a little different on our 200th show. In the booth, we have Shantae Garth, our producer. And to my right, the lovely Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
All right. Good to see you.
Great,
it's been
you
a
too,
week.
Right? It feels like just a day or two.
It seems like a couple of days.
Honestly, I can't believe
it's like
the
we're
whole
back
week
here.
Has
I'm driving
by.
Down here, and I'm like, it's time for our radio show again.
I feel like it was just yesterday.
I know.
It's
well,
crazy.
You know what? We have some classic radio shows to start things off. It'll be Duffy's Tavern, starring Ed Gardner and special guest Fred Allen. Then I thought it would be fun to hear Ed Gardner in a serious role, so we have him starring on Suspense. Then it's Nick Carter, Master Detective, starring Lon Clark, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film Winchester about a firearm heiress who is haunted by the souls of people killed.
What do they win?
They're going to win something wonderful, a pair of tickets to see Hair, the American tribal rock musical. It's played.
Lock what?
Don't laugh at me. It's a rock musical.
Oh, I thought you meant like hair locks. Musical
no, Hair,
rock.
You know, that's the name of the musical.
I know.
It's at the Mercury Theater, Chicago,
okay.
Which is a wonderful theater.
Yep.
I will be there for opening night. It is playing through July 27th. I mean, starting July 27th through September 17th.
All right. Two tickets to see Hair at the Mercury Theater. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Now, here's a hint. She played the Queen.
Well, you are my 10th Prime Minister, Mr. Blair. My first, of course, was Winston Churchill. He sat in your chair in frock coat and top hat.
I bet you can play this part, Lisa. Can you do that? It's going to
no,
top
I
like
can't
that?
Be her.
Yeah, all right.
Nobody can.
Do you know who that actress is? Call us 312-981-7200. Win two tickets to see Hair at the Mercury Theater. We'll be right back.
And we are back to show 199 of the WGN Radio Theater. Right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of shows to deal with.
Well,
you.
I've been on 199 shows. You've probably been on 165.
Okay, no. We had somebody texted and said 180. I'm pretty
Yeah, you've
sure
missed about 20 shows.
It's been like 196.
I don't think so.
So close.
But that's okay.
Anyway, we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play
We forgive
it again.
You, Lisa.
No, no.
Well, you are my 10th Prime Minister, Mr. Blair. My first, of course, was Winston Churchill. He sat
Winston
in your chair
Churchill.
In top hat.
Top hat.
You can't speak over her. She has rain.
This is true.
We've got Linda on the phone. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
I think you've been on every show.
Right? And
boy,
when I'm not here,
you girls
I'm sorely
stick together,
missed.
I'll tell you that.
That's
Linda.
Right. You tell him.
We love you, Carl.
Aw, thanks. I love you too, Linda.
But she just loves me a little bit more, right?
No, she loves me more.
Linda, help us out here and tell us who that fine actress is.
Well, when you call her fine like that, it must be Helen Mirren.
You are absolutely right. See, I gave it away with fine, right? Because she's the only fine actress that exists.
You gave it away with rain because she's a queen.
Yes, she
that's
rains.
Right. That's exactly right.
Linda, you're good.
She's good.
She's
right?
good.
She picked up on that. It was R-E-I-G-N.
And you know what's the best thing about Linda?
What?
She loves me.
No, I think she loves
I
me.
Do.
But who do you love
do.
More?
Carl,
Lisa, Carl.
So Hair.
Hair.
Oh,
Hair is she loves wonderful.
Hair.
I'm so glad you love the show because you won two tickets to see Hair. It's a rock musical. It's playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago from July 27th through September 17th. You know some of the songs, Let the Sunshine In and Good Morning Starshine. It's an excellent show. I will be there for opening night, and I hope that you enjoy. You can get more information at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in, Linda.
Guys, so much.
Take care.
Saturday night when I'm doing carpool. So much fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Linda. All right. Well, you know what, Lisa? Program 199 is here. That means tomorrow. This is how good I am at math.
Mm-hmm.
Means tomorrow is our 200th show.
Get out.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do for me?
I don't know.
I like presents.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll ask our listeners to text in. By the way, our text in line is 312-981-7200. If you want to ask us any questions about the program or about Lisa's kids or your doggy,
right,
Simba,
right,
who's doing much better.
Much better.
Or anything you want to know about classic radio, you can text us. That's our line, 312-981-7200. All right, time for Duffy's Tavern. It was a comedy that came to radio in 1940. And Duffy's Tavern was a flea-infested dive on 3rd and 23rd Streets in New York City where the elite meet to eat. And Ed Gardner played Archie the manager. And Duffy was the owner, but he was an absentee owner. He never, ever appeared on the show. But he would call in at the beginning of the program to check on things. He left his daughter, Miss Duffy, to kind of watch over the tavern. She was a man-hungry daughter, and she was always trying to find the next Mr. Right. She was played originally by Shirley Booth, then Florence Halep, and then Sandra Gould. And then they had regulars on it, Eddie the Waiter, Clancy the Cop, other guest stars. And this was written by A. Burroughs, Larry Marks, Larry Gelbert, and Dick Martin of Rowan and Martin. On the Laugh-In, remember?
Of course I
do. And in 1949, it moved offshore to Puerto Rico. Ed Gardner moved the whole show offshore for tax advantages. Smart guy.
Yeah,
wanted to save some money. All right, so let's go back to January 4th, 1944. Ed Gardner stars with special guest Fred Allen. Here's part one of Duffy's Tavern.
You're invited to drop in where the elite meet to eat. Duffy's Tavern.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Duffy's. Come in and meet Finnegan, Eddie the Waiter, Miss Duffy, Benny Venuta, Peter Van Steeden and his orchestra, our special guest tonight, Fred Allen, and Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's, where the elite meet to eat. Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here.
Duffy, that feud's just on the surface. Yeah, down underneath, they hate each other. Well, Alan's jealous, you see, because Benny steals all his stuff. Well, sure. Alan was cheap long before Benny. Hey, look, Duffy, I'm just thinking. St. Patrick's Day is coming up. What about a guy like Alan to MC the pig roast? Huh? Not enough contrast, huh? Well, I don't know. Maybe we could distinguish them. Maybe we could get Alan to wear a blue suit. Okay, I'll talk to him about it. So long, Duffy.
Eddie.
Yes, yeah? Eddie, you want to hear a real funny joke?
No.
An absent-minded professor slammed his wife and kissed the door goodbye.
Okay, I'd like to hear a joke.
Look, Eddie, I'm rehearsing to be one of them. What do you call them guys that tell jokes like the ones I just told?
A ghoul?
A monogamist. I'm learning these gags so when Fred Allen gets here, we can bandage a few ad-libs at each other.
You gonna be pitching or catching?
Eddie, you never heard me at a party. Honest to goodness, every place I go to, people say, "That Archie, what a convulsion." Yeah, wait till me and Alan gets together. Boy, it'll be a real battle of wits.
The trouble with this battle is he's got you outnumbered.
Listen, Eddie, I got just as many intelligence as he has. Especially with somebody helping me.
Huh?
Well, for instance, say me and Alan are standing here, throwing witty sisms at each other. Now, somebody might ask me, why does a chicken cross the street?
Who might ask you?
You might.
Why might I?
Because you might want Sunday off.
Yeah, I might at that, huh?
Now, why does a chicken cross the street?
Because there's a rooster on the other side.
Eddie, you ask the questions. I give the answers. That is, if you want Sundays off.
What happens if I don't ask you the question?
Then you get Sunday, Monday, and always.
Well, shake hands with a straight man.
Okay.
Arch.
Oh, hiya, Finnegan.
Hey, Arch, it's Fred Allen here. I'm dying to see him.
Do you know him, Finnegan?
No.
No? Well, do you listen to his program?
No.
Then why are you so anxious to meet him?
I always like to make new friends.
Well, Finnegan, why don't you listen to him sometime?
Maybe I will. When is he on?
He's on Sunday nights.
Oh, I can't, Dodge. Sunday night, my father listens to the Texaco show.
Finnegan, that is the show that Fred Allen is on.
Dodge, just that, Dodge. How come me and my father both listen? It's on the same station.
Yeah, that would be tough for that one. Why don't you listen some Sunday night when your father ain't home?
I even tried that, but I just tuned in at the finish of the program. When the announcer said, tune in the same time next Sunday.
Well, did you tune in the same time next Sunday?
Yep, and once again, they were just finishing. Hey, Arch, what does this Fred Allen do?
Oh, he's a comedian. He tells jokes.
For instance,
he says, why is a streetcar like a woman?
What else does he do?
Finnegan, you're supposed to ask me.
To ask you what?
Why is a streetcar like a woman? Finnegan, ask me.
Why should I ask you? You don't know. You just asked me.
Forget it, will you, Finnegan? Miss Duffy, maybe you'll do me a favor, huh?
I can't, Archie. I'm too busy.
You're too busy?
Certainly. Here it is the fourth day of leap year already, and I haven't got my circulars printed yet.
Circulars? Miss Duffy, is that in good taste?
In very good taste. They're printed in old English type.
Well, in that case, maybe you'll get an old Englishman. Oh, boy, I'll murder that, Alan. Leap year, huh? Have you found any suckers yet?
Well, there's just one fella. Goldsworthy Harker Road.
Your son, hi.
Thank you.
Goldsworthy, where did you meet Goldsworthy?
In a restaurant. He wrote me a note on the back of the menu.
So then what?
So then I wrote him a note.
You mean you picked up a guy just like that?
I did not pick him up. I just told you we corresponded first.
Oh, I forgot that. Well, then what happened?
Well, he invited me for an automobile ride in the country, and he wanted to borrow Papa's car.
Oh, well, did you go with him?
Of course not. He was a total stranger. Do you think I'd trust a total stranger with Papa's car?
Well, don't worry, Miss Duffy. There's still 361 days left in leap year.
And now, folks, we present the new singing star of Duffy's, Benny Venuta, who, before she sings, rubs her throat religiously with Minute Rub.
Archie, what goes on here?
Oh, I'll do better for you, Benny. Please, Danny. Ladies and gentlemen, we now have the great honor of presenting that distinguished female vocal chanteuse, the singing vocalist of such vocal hits on Broadway as By Jupiter, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and cetera, et cetera, and cetera. Tonight she vocalizes a song she made famous. Everything I Got Belongs to You. Miss Benny Venuta. How was that? Wasn't that better, Benny?
Oh, yes.
That's fine. Everything else satisfactory? You like your dressing room?
Yes. Except that I have to get out every time somebody wants to use the telephone.
Oh, we'll have that fixed immediately. Eddie, put an out of order sign on Miss Venuta's dressing room. Go ahead and sing, Benny.
I have eyes for you to give you dirty looks. I have words that do not come from children's books. There's the trick with the knife. I'm learning to do. And everything I've got belongs to you. I've a powerful anesthesia in my fist. And the perfect wrist to give your neck a twist. There are hammerlock holds. I've mastered a few. And everything I've got belongs to you. Share for share, share alike. You get struck each time I strike. You for me, me for me. I'll give you plenty of nothing. I'm not yours for better, but for worse. And I've learned to give the well-known witch's curse. I've a terrible tongue, a temper for two. And everything I've got belongs to you. Don't stamp your foot at me, that's impolite. To stamp your foot at me is not quite right. All I discover is you're not so fine. I fear my lover is a swine. You're a living proof that Frank Buck's still alive. You haven't brains enough for any child of five. But I'll never let go. You'll never be free. Till everything you've got belongs. Everything you've got belongs. Everything you've got belongs to me.
Feel the sawdust falling out of your mouth there. May I say that when television comes in, you'll be a big star?
Oh, thank you, Archie.
It's a lucky thing television ain't here now.
Why not, Miss Duffy?
Look what's coming in the door.
Fred Allen. Duffy's is indeed prideful to have its portholes preempted by such an unmitigated personage as your distinguished self.
Dr. Fadiman, I presume.
Yeah, Fred, I'm glad you're surprised to find out. I bet you're surprised to find out I ain't no bum, huh?
I'm sure I'm going to be, Archie, yes. You're looking ahead a little. So this is the famous Duffy's, eh?
Yeah, this is it. What do you think of it, then?
Well, I have been in a lot of dumps, Archie. But frankly, this joint is to architecture what Jack Benny is to the human race. Who is responsible for the decor here?
The decor?
Capital D, decor.
Yeah. Oh, I am responsible.
South
decor. With that little narrow nose, I didn't think you'd smell it. But tell me, what do you think of the decorating? What do you think of that wallpaper job?
The wallpaper? It looks as though the one-armed paper hanger still has the hives, Archie.
Mr. Allen, I personally hung that wallpaper myself.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better paper.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir, there's nothing like the New York Times. And, Archie, I must say that you showed good judgment in putting the obituary column next to the kitchen there.
Thank you. And look at the rest of them antiques. Duncan Fife cuspidors.
Mm. Barely see those.
Look at them Chippendale tables. genuine oil paintings. That one up there, by the way, is a portrait of Duffy, the proprietor himself.
Say, he looks like Sitting Bull looked before he sat down. And these cracks in the wall, Archie, what are these? Air conditioning for the termites?
Mr. Allen, Duffy's does not cater to termites.
You mean even termites refuse to eat in here?
Please, no cracks about the food. We may not serve partridge on peasant, but the food is very nourishing.
It's nourishing, eh?
You know who eats here?
Who?
Frank Sinatra.
That I can believe. He is a real disciple of malnutrition.
Yes, sir, and he's got us to thank for it. Yeah, a lot of big shots eat here. You see that guy over there? That's Crud-Face Clifford, the safe cracker. Strictly Park Avenue.
Oh, a Ritz cracker, hey?
Yeah, great dynamite man. Very delicate artist, too. I have seen Crud-Face take a pinch of TNT and open a can of sardines.
That reminds... And when the can of sardines were opened, there were the little sardines laying there with that joke alongside.
All right, that's the first portion of Duffy's Tavern from January 4th, 1944. Special guest Fred Allen. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. First, these words. Dave gets the best guest, doesn't he?
He does.
He really, really does. He works very hard, puts on an awesome show. We love
sure
Dave Plyer's show. He'll be on right after our program. And then tomorrow night, we'll be back here from 11 till 2 o'clock in the morning. Then after us, Nick DiGilio will be on. So we have two great WGN celebrities following our show, Lisa. We're the lead-in.
Well, of course. Show. I think they have a pretty good lead-in.
Yeah, they have. I think so, too.
Yeah.
We're listening to Duffy's Tavern starring Ed Gardner. And you know what? Ed Gardner is going to show that he just... doesn't do comedy. He can do drama and mystery because about 3 months later, he starred in a suspense episode called The Palmer Method. That's coming up after Duffy's Tavern, starring Ed Gardner in suspense. Then it's Nick Carter, Master Detective. That's on our lineup for this edition, edition 199 of the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Yes, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We have 3 hours on Saturday and 3 hours on Sunday. And over the 6 hours, we play six half-hour classic radio shows for you, all your favorites, The Shadow and Jack Benny and Gunsmoke and Burns and Allen, Dragnet, you name it, we play it right here on the WGN Radio Theater. We're tuning in to Duffy's Tavern. A little while after that, it's Suspense, then Nick Carter, Master Detective. And tomorrow, Lisa, what do we have on the agenda? I know we have Life with Luigi tomorrow.
On Sunday night, we have,
Life with Luigi?
You know what? It's not on my...
What?
Look, hold on, I'll grab it.
Oh, man.
Okay.
We weren't prepared.
No.
What do we have on the agenda tomorrow?
All right, I've got it.
Here, I'll do
it
again.
Got it.
You ready?
Okay, yeah, say it again.
All right. Lisa, what do we have on the agenda tomorrow?
Oh, well, Sunday night, beginning at 11, we have Life with Luigi, your
yes.
mother's favorite.
Right.
We've got The Green Hornet, mm-hmm. and we have Screen Directors Playhouse.
And you know what Screen Directors Playhouse we're playing?
Pride of Yankees. With
Pride
Gary
of the
Cooper.
Yankees.
Yeah, with Gary Cooper.
With Gary Cooper.
I just said that.
Very famous movie. He plays Lou Gehrig in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a famous movie, and we have a half-hour radio adaptation of it tomorrow right here on the WGN Radio Theater. But right now, it's time for the conclusion to Duffy's Tavern, starring Ed Gardner and special guest Fred Allen.
That reminds me, I knew a safecracker once, Archie. One Halloween, purely as a prank, mark you, I put a little bicarbonate of soda in with his nitroglycerin.
What happened?
That night, don't anticipate. You heard it the first show. Now you're laughing before we get there.
I put
a little bicarbonate of soda in his nitroglycerin, and that night, for the first time in history, a bank burped.
Must have been very embarrassing. A bank naturally couldn't say, pardon me.
No, it was just one of those corny exchange banks, you know.
Couldn't have been no cornier exchange than this.
Oh, Mr. Allen.
Well, as I live and breathe, if it isn't... Archie, what is it?
This is Miss Duffy, Fred. And take a tip, watch out.
What do you mean, Archie?
This dame carries around a marriage license made out to her and to whom it may concern.
Miss Duffy, Archie tells me that you've entered yourself in the leap year derby for Philly.
Yeah, and the way she's been running, you'd think she was owned by Bing Crosby.
You two talk like I was a horse.
Now, listen, Archie, if I was to tell you
little lady, don't get excited. You might pull a tendon. Save your wind for the track.
I will have you two know that I am no horse.
What do we do with her, Fred?
Slap a saddle on her and put her in a claiming race.
That's the trouble with her. Nobody will claim her.
Oh, you.
So you're Fred Allen.
That's right. By her relatives, I'm called Portland Hoffer's husband. And you are?
Clifton Finnegan.
Clifton Finnegan.
So you're Fred Allen. Boy, no wonder you make so many people laugh. Look at you.
Finnegan. Please, that is ill mannered.
Yeah.
Mr. Allen is not responsible for his ghastly looks.
Thank you, Archie.
Say, that's a good trick you got.
What's that?
Talking through your nose like that. It must be hard to slip the words past your adenoid. How do you do it?
I use small words. Of course, if I feel a big word coming on, I give it both nostrils. And then I push it through with hyphens on occasion. It's very simple, really.
Excuse me, Fred. Hello? Hello, Duffy. Huh? Yeah, Alan's here. The bags? Brother, has he got them. Yeah, looks like his eyes is waiting for a red tap. No, I ain't asked him about the pig roast yet. Okay, I'll approach him, Duffy. call me back. Fred, I'll be blunt. How would you like to make a fast buck emceeing a pig roast?
Sounds like a greasy buck to me, Archie. What is this, this pig roast?
Well, it's Duffy's spring semi-annual St. Patrick's Day music call and pig roast.
Sounds gala.
Oh, yeah, sure. All Irish. Now, how about you emceeing it?
Now, wait a minute. Don't rush me into it. What about the salary?
$5 and all a pig you can stomach.
$5. Now, let me see. 10%. That's 50 cents goes to my agent out of the $5.
Don't forget the pig.
Don't worry. He'll be around to collect his commission in the morning.
Well, Fred, $5 ain't nothing to be sneezed at.
$5? I can make more money than that peddling Wilkie buttons to Roosevelt.
You could, huh? Just a minute. Hello? Hello, Duffy. You won't take the $5. Duffy, I don't blame that guy. He's a big radio star, a picture star, a famous stage actor. How kind can we go? Well, it's a little more like us. So long.
What's the offer?
$6.50.
Well, look, is that European plan or with pig?
This American plan. You eat before you get there.
Oh, I see.
Now, Fred, when would you like to audition for this pig roast?
You mean I have to audition for this swine soiree?
Well, not for me. It's for Duffy, you know. He always chooses his own pigs and masters the ceremonies. So what do you say, Fred?
What do I say?
Yeah.
Oink.
What did you say?
I said oink.
Let me take a look at your knuckles, Fred.
$6.50.
Oh, say, Mr. Allen, didn't you once work for Sal Hepatica?
Yes, Mr. Seymour, and it looks as though I'm going to work for even less here in a minute.
Oh, Mr. Allen, weren't they wonderful people to work for?
Well, now as I...
I know you loved it.
Hello? Hello, Duffy. Huh? First, you want him to fill out the questionnaire? Okay. Fred, would you mind answering some questions?
All right.
First, your name?
Fred Allen.
Uh-huh. Occupation?
Part-time gasoline salesman.
Uh-huh. Social Security?
I'm already collecting it.
Obviously. Next. Any hobbies?
I can spin a yo-yo.
Can spin a... How do you spell yo-yo?
Y-O.
Well, that's just the one, yo. How about the other one?
Likewise, I'm sure.
Any other talents?
Juggling.
Juggling will be handy. The MC has to wait on tables, too. Anything else?
Well, I sing and play the clarinet.
Sing and play a clarinet, huh? Excuse me. Hello? Duffy, you all ready for the audition? Well, he says he sings and plays the clarinet. Okay, listen in. Van Steeden.
Yeah?
Loan Mr. Allen to lend of a clarinet, will you?
Okay. Here you are, Mr. Allen.
Thank you. Say, isn't that strange? I have a clarinet just like this one at home. Mr. Van Steeden, didn't you used to have the band on my program?
Yep, and I quit.
Why did you quit, Pete?
Some rat swiped a clarinet.
Well, I'll see that you get this one back. Okay, Fred, leave us start the audition. What song do you think would be apropos for a pig roast?
Pig roast? How about something from Porky and Bess? Or How Sweet You Are? Or While Strolling Through the Park One Day?
While strolling through... Duffy, don't mind what you sing, you know, as long as it's when Irish eyes are smiling.
All right.
When Irish eyes are smiling, all the world seems bright and gay.
Just a second. Huh? Okay, Duffy. And now, Fred, the clarinet.
But I hardly sang.
You ain't kidding. But maybe you should rest your nose a bit, huh? Leave us have the clarinet.
Well, what'll I play, Archie?
Well, I wrote a song called Leave Us Face It, We're in Love.
Archie, I heard that song. What do you want to do, turn this clarinet into a plunger?
What do you want to play?
Well, something from Oklahoma. And frankly, I wish I was there at the moment.
He even plays this through his nose. If Beethoven was alive, he'd wish he was dead.
Hold it a second.
Hello? Stinks, huh? Look, don't worry. It'll be over soon. Go ahead, friend.
Was that Duffy again?
No, this time it was Portland.
Oh, I see.
Go ahead. Just a minute, Fred. Hello? Well, he stopped, didn't he? Oh, Fred, Duffy wants to talk to you.
Oh, hello. Hello, Duffy. Say, what did you... Huh? Well, I can't. It's Van Steeden's clarinet.
Well, what'd you think?
Duffy, such language.
Okay, I'll thank Fred for you. Hold on wire just a minute, Duffy. Look, Fred, do you know any jokes?
Well, there's one joke about the absent-minded motorist.
Maybe you'd better tell it to me first.
Clear it through you.
Yeah.
But this is an audition within an audition. Well, there was once an absent-minded motorist who sat in a bar for 3 hours in front of a stuffed olive, waiting for the red light to change. Tell the sardines to move over, huh?
Look, Duffy, what do we need a writer for? I mean, an MC. Look, don't forget these days a pig is a pretty big attraction by itself. Okay. Look, Fred.
I know, Archie. This happened to me one time in Newark with a trombone.
Well, look, Fred, don't worry. I guarantee we won't hire nobody else. We'll just take the 650 and buy a heavier pig.
Say, wait a minute, Archie. A heavy pig is pretty hard to find these days.
Well, I'll have to start looking.
Say, just a sec. Does it matter if the pig comes from the Midwest?
No.
Does it matter if he wears a toupee?
Fred, you ain't suggesting that...
No. I guess I'd better not spoil a high-class pig roast with him around, Archie. Good night.
Good night.
Hello, Duffy. Guess what? I'm going to be on the radio. Yeah, next Sunday night, Fred Allen's invited me to be on his program. Yeah, that's right. And next Tuesday, we're having Jimmy Cagney. Yeah, Duffy, and Cagney's got that same Irish wit that Fred Allen has. Hello? Hello? He hung up. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dinah Shaw will now sing me own original composition, Leave Us Face It, We're in Love.
I stand in good old Duffy's, where the elite meet to eat. Me red corpuscles racing, I await for you, my sweet. In my hand is a diamond unfurled. We should holler it out to the world. Leave us no longer, pretend that you are merely a friend, for it is wrote in the stars above. Though we have tried to act cold, suddenly low and get home. We're in love. Leave us not blush with no shame if people bandage our name. Shoes and old rights are worth dreaming of. Stories like in our two could win the Pulitzer Prize. Leave us faces, we're in love. Somehow I know many ages ago in an old French chateau we was mated. Now thine love is mine, just as mine love for thine has been my troth at your feet. Don't leave me life incomplete. I'm like a turtle without a dove. Love light ain't made to be hid. No perish forbid.
That is Duffy's Tavern, a broadcast from January 4th, 1944. And we had Ed Gardner starring in that program, along with special guest Fred Allen. And in just a little bit, we'll have Ed Gardner starring in Suspense with the Palmer Method. You know, Lisa and I were talking about something we might be able to do that should be a lot of fun here for our broadcast tonight, and also maybe on some other broadcasts. We're going to pick a year, and I think we chose 1968, right, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, 1968. We're going to start out with that year. Tomorrow we'll do 1969. But I've chosen my favorite song from 1968, and Lisa has chosen her favorite song from 1968. And if you can guess it, text it in. If you think you might know what it is, we're going to play the songs later. But we'll give you a chance to text in what you think my favorite song from 1968 is and Lisa's favorite song from 1968. Text it in, and if you get it right, I'm going to send you a Twilight Zone 4-CD set. The number is to text in is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yes, Lisa?
I want to mention also, so you know, that they are different songs.
Oh,
Carl's
yeah.
favorite is not my favorite and vice versa.
Right. We have two different songs.
It's very different.
And we'll do this tomorrow night as well. And
right.
if the listeners like it, we'll maybe do it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Pick a year, and then we'll play what my favorite song is and Lisa's favorite song, give you a chance
to
guess.
Yeah, and it's a great way to win prizes.
Yeah, win some Twilight Zone CDs. So the year is 1968. A lot of great songs came out in 1968. If you know, if you have an idea what mine might be and what Lisa's is, text us 312-981-7200. If you're right, you're going to win some Twilight Zone CDs. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. And you can win some Twilight Zone CDs. We're having a little fun musical contest. So if you take a guess what my favorite song is from 1968, make sure when you text in, say Carl's favorite song or Lisa's favorite song. And Lisa has a song and I have a song, two different songs. 1968 is the year. Text us 312-981-7200. And in a little bit, we'll play both songs and we'll award some Twilight Zone CDs to whoever got it right.
Okay, so just to be clear here, make sure you tell me who you are referring to when you say the song, because there's one. We've gotten a lot of text. One person has one of them correct, but didn't mention whether it was for me or for you. So if you didn't mention, we can't use it. So
no.
Text again and make sure to be really, really clear which person you're referring to.
Yeah, and even if multiple people get it right, I'm going to send everybody the song. Whoever gets it right, they're going to get Twilight Zone CDs. So
if you didn't specifically specify who you're referring to, retext.
Yeah, retext it. 312-981-7200, the year 1968. What do you think Lisa's favorite song was, and what do you think Carl's favorite song was? And make sure you put our name.
And it's Carl with a C, just in case you guys weren't sure.
Yeah, I don't think that would stop them from winning.
No, I know. I
would know.
I was just helping you out.
All right. 312-981-7200. And we are going to play the songs a little later in the show. All right, we're playing Suspense coming your way right after the news with Ed Gardner starring in The Palmer Method. Then in Hour 3, it's Nick Carter, Master Detective starring Lon Clark. That is our agenda on Program 199. And tomorrow, Lisa, Program 200. We've been on the air since April, I believe it was April 9th.
Yep.
In 2015.
Yep, that's it.
Not bad.
Yep.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, hour two. Thanks, David. And this is the WGN Radio Theater Program 199 in the series. It's 12:07 in the morning. And in this hour, it's Suspense starring Ed Gardner. And then in hour three, Nick Carter, Master Detective, a good detective drama. And we've been getting tons and tons of texts. And the interesting thing is Lisa's song has been on there a lot, but they think it's my favorite song.
That's true.
Yeah, it's interesting. But there are some people that have it right. So keep it coming, folks. 312-981-7200. Everyone that gets it right is going to get a Twilight Zone CD set. If you know or have an idea of what Lisa's favorite song from 1968 might be, text it in and make sure you put her name. And then if you think you may know what my favorite song is from 1968, text it in along with my name, 312-981-7200. We'll play both songs. In fact, we'll play one of them in this hour and then another one in the next hour. But you can win some Twilight Zone CDs, right, Lisa?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
312-981-7200. And all of our programming is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film The Pact, about three fathers who try to stop their daughters from intimacy on prom night.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. Well, what do they win?
Well, I was going to say they're going to win two tickets to see Hair, the rock musical, playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago through September 17th.
All right, two tickets to see Hair at the Mercury Theater. Here's a hint. This actress played Allison's sister Debbie in Knocked Up.
We come here all the time. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really look that crowded in there.
All right.
I just love
her. She's awesome. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner right after these words.
All righty. And we're back, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop, and we're going to hear that movie clip again.
We come here all the time. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really look that crowded in there.
And we have somebody on the line. We'll wait for Shantae to put them through.
All right. What do they win?
Oh, they're going to win two tickets to see Hair, which is a rock musical playing at Mercury Theater Chicago from July 27th through September 17th. Great show, great music.
Oh, she took it off air.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right. So she took a...
And you can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Who was the winner? That was John.
Linda. No, it wasn't. I think
no, it's Linda was last hour. That was John from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And he won two tickets to Mercury Theater to see Hair. So congratulations
righty,
to John. But
very
we did,
wait.
I got to say the winner.
What?
It's Leslie Mann.
Oh, Leslie Mann.
Right.
That's right. That would not be good if you didn't say the winner.
No.
I love Leslie Mann.
I love Leslie
She's
Mann.
Awesome.
She's always
Remember
good.
Her in 40-year-old
Virgin.
She's the drunken girl he's in the
in
car
the bath-
with.
In the
no,
bath?
No, he's driving in the car with her, and she vomits on him. A strawberry daiquiri.
Oh, she's good.
Oh, gosh,
she's
funny.
She's so good.
That may be the funniest movie in the history of movies, in my opinion. One of.
That's one of. It's way up there.
40-year-old virgin.
She's part of the funny. So.
All right. Well, the opposite of funny is scary.
Great.
And we have a very scary radio show for you now. This is Suspense. And I thought it would be fun because Ed Gardner, who stars as Archie, the manager on Duffy's Tavern, was also a very good dramatic actor. And so we heard him in Duffy's Tavern. Now we're going to hear him as in a drama from April 20th, 1944. This is called The Palmer Method. Here's part one of Suspense.
Roma Wines presents
Suspense.
Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you a star, Mr. Ed Gardner, better known to you perhaps as Archie, the proprietor of Duffy's Tavern, where the elite are wont to meet to eat. Mr. Gardner tonight makes his debut as a dramatic actor. He will not appear tonight as Archie, but in a role entirely different from any he has ever played before. And so with a suspense play called The Palmer Method, and with the performance of Ed Gardner as a pen-pushing gentleman named Joe Palmer, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Then I will be back at 8 o'clock.
Okay, that'll be okay.
You will be waiting for me?
Oh, don't worry, babe. I'll be here. Oh, will I be here? Dear friend Harry, I'm sitting here the last 10 minutes knocking myself out laughing and wishing for somebody to tell it to. And then I get to thinking of you, so I'm going to write you the whole story. Harry, you got to admit that yours truly is one smart guy. Because in about an hour, they're going to bring me so much dough, they got to bring it in a suitcase. No kidding. Of course, it's the Spanish moolah, but even in the United States, it comes to about 10 grand. But I better start from the beginning so you can get the whole play. And if you don't say that your old pal is one smart guy, I am a monkey's uncle. It all begins about 4 months ago in New York when I'm on a lam and expecting any minute that heavy hand is going to fall on my shoulders and I'm trying to think of something to do about it, you know. And happens I'm down to about $3, which makes the thinking a very tough proposition, even for a bright guy like me. Anyways, things being what they are, I naturally only go out at night. So one night I'm walking through the park in Union Square, still thinking, not getting very far.
Swamped in 46 states. Election extra, paper, mister.
Huh?
Yeah, want a paper? Latest election returns.
What election?
Are you kidding? The election for president. Roosevelt and Landon. Here, get a paper and wise up.
For a punk like you, I should go all excited every time they have an election.
Well, it wouldn't strain your mind, none. They only happen once every 4 years.
Eh, don't be such a wise kid.
Do you want a paper or don't you?
Ah, sure. Give me one. Here, keep the change.
Oh, gee, thanks.
And let that be a lesson to you, not to get wise with guys that might do you some good someday.
Well, thanks anyway.
Now, what am I going to do with this?
For volunteers to help the heroic Spanish people in their fight against fascism. If the fascism of Hitler and Mussolini is allowed to triumph in Spain, it'll overrun all Europe. And once democracy is crushed in Europe, it won't be long before democracy is attacked here in the United States. Hitler himself has promised.
Hey, you there.
Speaking to me?
Yeah, yeah. What's that guy all wound up about?
He's asking for volunteers for the Spanish Loyalist Army.
Oh, who are they fighting?
What's the matter? Don't you read the papers? They're fighting a fascist revolt.
Listen, I got a paper here. You think I'm illiterate? I just get kind of mixed up once in a while.
Yeah, they put out a lot of propaganda to confuse you. With Hitler and Mussolini on Franco's side, anybody can see what the score is now.
Oh, sure, sure.
Look at that.
Anybody.
Fascist bomb Madrid. I just wish sometimes I didn't have a wife and kids. I'd go over there and get me a couple of licks at those guys.
Over to Spain, huh?
Yeah.
They send you over there, buy your ticket and all like that, do they?
Sure, they pay for your transportation. They raise quite a little money for that.
Hmm, yeah. You don't happen to know where they sign up for this army, do you?
Well, he'll sign you up right there. Hey, you want to go?
Could be. Yeah, why not? Sure, why not? You get the play, Harry? Not so dumb, huh? I not only lamb out of the country till I cool off, but I get a free ticket. It's what I always say, Harry. A guy with real brains can always get by. Of course, I know strictly from nothing about this war, but I naturally figure it's just one of them tango revolutions, you know, like you see in the movies with a couple of guys riding around shooting off their rods at nothing in particular, and pretty soon everybody goes home. But sometimes I wish I had read more of the front pages of the papers a little more, but when I get off the boat at Spain at a burg by the name of Barcelona, I find out this ain't such a funny war after all. This fascist mob is really knocking a joint around. There's shooting going on, and they're dropping bombs from airplanes, and the next thing you know, they got me in a uniform. Huh. So I'm standing there in the railroad station with a bunch of other guys, a whole mob of us, you know. It looked like the $2 winner at Belmont. It seems that we're going away somewhere, honey.
Next. Step up here, please. Next. Your name, please?
Padway. George Padway.
Padway. Your number 336, car 7, compartment 3. Next, please.
Palmer. Joe Palmer.
How did you spell it, please?
P-A-L-M-E-R. Like the Palmer method.
Oh, yes, Palmer. George 337, car 7, compartment 3, with Padway. Next, please. Step up, please.
Next. Hey, you, Padway.
Someone calling me?
Yeah, come here. Look, my name is Joe Palmer. We're supposed to ride in the same compartment or something?
Oh, splendid. That's car 7. It's down this way, I imagine.
Well, wait, you know, I can't make head and tail out of these stinky rattlers.
Of course. You're American, aren't you?
What else?
Here, let me give you a hand with your gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks. Hey, these guys over here take this war pretty serious, don't they?
Well, rather. What did you expect?
Yeah, yeah. See, from what I see around this Barcelona, it looks to me like if they ain't careful, somebody's apt to liable to get killed here.
Well, if you think this is bad, what about Madrid? They're dying up there by the thousands.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Madrid? Ain't that where this train is going?
Well, of course. They're sending us up to keep them out of University City, if we can.
And you say they're knocking them off up there by the thousands?
I'm afraid so.
Hmm. That ain't good.
You're not worried, are you, old man?
Well, no, but I'm just thinking that...
Papers, please.
Padway, 336. Palmer, 337.
No, I'm...
All in order.
Hey, wait a minute. You got us mixed up. Well, how do you like that?
You seem to have got us mixed up, what?
Yeah.
That would be funny, wouldn't it, if they got us mixed up? You, Padway, and me.
Yeah, that would be funny, all right. That would be very funny.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines bring you as star, radio's famous Archie, Ed Gardner, whom you've heard in the prologue to The Palmer Method by Ernest Martin and Robert L. Richards. Tonight's adventure in Suspense.
There I was, on a train heading straight for Madrid, where they're knocking guys off every 5 minutes, which is naturally a little upsetting to a sensitive person like myself. And, anyways, I get to thinking about this Padway guy I'm riding with. I can see there's something different about him from the rest of these guys, so I get to thinking about a plan.
I say, what in the world are you doing there? You've been working away at it the last half an hour.
I'm just practicing.
Practicing what?
The Palmer Method.
What in heaven's name is the Palmer Method?
You never heard of the Palmer Method? It's penmanship. You know, the way they learn you to write when you're a kid. Some guy named Palmer invented it. You see, you make these ovals and lines, and pretty soon it learns you how to use your whole arm. See? Makes your writing very pretty.
Aren't you a little old for that sort of thing?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. With me, it's a business.
You're an instructor in penmanship?
Yeah, that's it. Instructor in penmanship.
What's so funny?
Well, look, when I was a punk kid in PS4, you know, the only subject I can pass is penmanship. I'm a whiz at it, you know, so naturally, my name being Palmer and all, it's kind of a standing joke in the school, you know, the kids would holler, Joe Palmer, he flunks in everything but writing. That's the Palmer method.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's how it started, but now I still like to keep in practice because, like I say... By this time, with me, it's a business.
But I still don't quite see how it can be much of a business.
You ask a lot of questions, don't you?
Well, I'm terribly sorry, old man. I don't mean to pry, you know.
Oh, it's all right. What about you?
Me?
Yeah. How about me asking you a couple of questions?
Why, of course, anything you like.
You're English, eh?
That's right.
Yeah, I could tell that right away.
Really?
Yeah, I could also tell that you're not exactly a stumble bum. I bet your old man is in the chips, huh?
You mean wealthy? Matter of fact, he is, rather.
Maybe even a lord or something?
Oh, no, nothing like that, really. Lesser nobility, you know.
I thought so. Big shot, huh? You ever been to this Madrid before?
No, never have.
You know anybody there?
Not a soul, as a matter of fact. At it again, I see. I say, you know, you never did tell me about that Palmer business.
You mean how come it's a business with me?
Mm-hmm.
I write checks.
Write checks?
Yeah, with other people's names on them. I might add that I'm about the top man in the profession, too.
Oh, you're a...
Yeah, I guess they call it the same thing in England, don't they? Forgery. Oh, sure, I told him, so what? He don't know anybody in this Madrid, and I figure he ain't gonna know much about me, and he ain't gonna say much anyhow. Although I still don't know quite how I'm going to do it. But then I get one of them breaks, Harry, that even a smart guy needs sometimes. By this time, it's night, and we're rattling along with the lights out, blacking on the inside of a nickel cigar, and I wait to see if maybe Padway will go to sleep or something. Well, the next thing I know, I must have dozed off myself. As I hear a noise, and as I look out, I see it's daylight already, and we're coming to a big berg. Padway's awake, Tony's looking over at me.
You dropped something, Palmer?
No, I thought you did.
No. Well, oh, hello. We must be getting into Madrid.
Madrid, huh?
Sure enough, pulling into the station now.
Oh, that's great. That's fine.
I say, old boy, you look a bit peevish. Anything wrong?
No, I'm fine. Hey, what was that?
A bomb, most likely.
A bomb?
Yep. That's it, all right. They're bombing the city, I suppose.
Yeah, hey, they ain't gonna bomb us, are they?
By Jove, I think they are.
Look, what do we do, Padway? What do we do now?
Keep down on the floor and hope for the best.
The best better be awful good.
This is a bit ironic, I must say. Oh, watch out for this one.
Padway!
All right, we're listening to a very exciting episode of Suspense called The Palmer Method, starring Ed Gardner from April 20th, 1944. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes, but first, these words. All right, well, we are listening to Suspense, and Roger, is there any show better than Suspense, I mean, that you know of? You're a big classic
in that
radio
genre?
Fan. Well, as far as, as far as mystery.
Yeah, not really. No, because they had such wide range of stories.
Yeah, they really did.
It wasn't the same one week after week. It was just great writing. Consistently great writing.
Sometimes they would have a sci-fi story or a Western.
Yeah.
Once in a while, even sort of a humorous story. But then there was really some great terror stories and then mystery. So you're right. It was really a lot of different shows all in one with Suspense. Yeah. And they had really the biggest actors. You know, they had all the big movie stars.
Oh, sure. Everybody wanted to be on it. It was so popular.
Right, like Lux Radio Theater. Everyone wanted to be on Lux Radio Theater. Yeah. Everybody wanted to be on Suspense. And we're listening to, I thought it would be interesting to play an Ed Gardner Suspense. We played Duffy's Tavern a little earlier, and he was the star of Duffy's Tavern. And now we're listening to him on a dramatic program called The Palmer Method. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, thank you, Roger. It is 12:36 in the morning. It is Sunday morning. Sorry, it's Sunday morning, and happy Sunday to you. Thanks for staying up late with us. And if you haven't texted in what you think Lisa's favorite song from 1968 is, or my favorite song from 1968, you should do so because you'll have a chance to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set. We've had tons and tons of entries, and there's a few that are right and a whole bunch that are wrong, but there are a lot of songs from 1968, so text it in. Our number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. What's Lisa's favorite song from 1968? And what's my favorite song? And when you do text in, make sure that you put either Lisa's name or my name next to the song. And if you get it right, you're going to win some Twilight Zone CDs. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to Suspense.
Honest, Harry, what happens to that train should happen to Sing Sing Prison. I look around and there's Padway over by the door, out like a light. I can see that he ain't long for this world, the poor guy. Me, I'm lucky. I don't have a scratch. So naturally, now is when I go to work. I go through his pockets and take out his papers. There's a passport, some letters, and a wallet with quite a bit of dough in it. So I take a couple of things out of my own pocket and I put them in his. Only just then, Padway starts coming out of it. Well, Harry, what would you do if you were me? Like I say, I am opposed to violence as much as anybody. But there he is looking at me. And a guy ain't gonna live long anyway. So I grab me rifle and I tap him on the noggin. Sure enough, he's gone again. But for good this time. And none too soon, because there's some guys coming down to the rescue. One of the guys pokes his head into my door. Come again?
Joel writing here?
Yeah, I guess so. What happened?
Don't you know? You're lucky to be alive.
Oh, yeah, I know, but this guy here, he wasn't so lucky.
Huh? Oh. Dead, all right. Do you know him?
Yeah. But I forget what name he told me. He's got his papers on him, I think.
Oh, let me see here. Oh, yes. Joseph Aloysius Palmer.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Palmer, yeah.
Poor fellow. What? He died in a good cause.
You're right there, brother. He certainly died in a good cause. You get it, Harry? Joe Palmer, who was wanted by the New York cops, is dead. And George Padway, the big-shot Englishman, is me. So I duck out quick to a hotel, I get me a change of clothes, and
I figure maybe I better take a look through the rest of Padway's stuff to see if maybe I can get an angle. Well, I find this letter on him from some guy named E. Valenkos. This letter says Valenkos looks forward to meeting Padway and names a time and a place. Now, anybody else, Harry, this letter might have threw for quite a loss, but not yours truly, because I know that Valenkos has never seen Padway. The letter practically says that, and Padway himself has told me he don't know nobody in Madrid. You catch on? And I figure this Valenkos is probably just a guy to get me out of this army. So, what do? I simply take me pen in hand and I write a letter. Very nice and neat. In George Padway's handwriting. Dear Valenkos, I says, I will likewise look forward to meeting you at the time and place you say. Signed, George Padway. So, the next night I go to keep the date. No fooling, Harry. This Madrid is really in tough shape since this fascist mob has been giving it the business. People is all poor and hungry, especially the women and kids, so naturally I feel sorry for them as I brush them off and walk into this hot spot. Well, I take a corner table and I tell the waiter I'm expecting a Mr. Valenkos. So I'm sitting there practicing with me pencil and paper, making me lines and circles, and the next thing you know, I ain't alone.
Hello?
Oh. Hello, Toots. What's cooking?
What are you doing?
Just practicing.
Ah. What is it? A secret code?
Yeah, that's right. The Palmer code.
I like it. It's pretty.
Yeah. You ain't so unpretty yourself, babe. Only I got some business tonight.
Oh. Aren't you going to ask me to have a drink?
Look, how about getting out of here and going someplace else for it, though, huh?
What about your business?
With a babe like you around, I'm afraid the business will have to wait a little.
Well, where shall we go?
How about going up to my hotel room?
You mean room 359?
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. How did you know?
What is your name, senor?
George Padway. So what?
You are well known, senor.
Well, sure, but...
My name is Elena.
That's fine, Elena, but now about...
My last name is Valenkos.
Valenkos? Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Oh, no. I do not think so.
So you're the Valenkos I'm supposed to meet here. Well, in that case, Elena, just call me George.
Of course, George. But now, George, I think perhaps we had better go to that hotel room of yours after all, huh?
Oh, sure. It'd be a good idea.
But only for business, George.
Of course, naturally.
But there is one thing I cannot wait to do.
What's that?
Congratulate you.
Oh, thanks. For what?
Why, for that troop train job, of course.
Oh, well, it wasn't nothing, really.
But there is still something I do not understand.
What's that, baby?
How did you manage to blow it up while you yourself were on it?
Let's go up to the room. We'll talk it all over.
George, you still have not told me how you blew up the train and did not get killed yourself.
Well, do I have to tell you everything?
Perhaps that is why you are so successful, eh? You have your little secrets.
Trade secrets. There's secrets in every trade, you know.
But of course I forget. You got your training with the Gestapo in Berlin.
They taught me a couple of things.
Tell me, were you in contact with the firm of Krupp when you were in Berlin?
Well, I saw something of them, naturally.
And what about Deutsche's farming industry?
Very fine firm, I guess there's a lot of dough on our side, huh?
Oh, but of course, we have the money. The others, the scum. They have the rags on their backs and the few rifles they get from the Bolsheviks.
Mm. Yeah, sure, but about this money.
Yes, George?
You see, the fact is, I'm a little short myself.
Well, we always have more work for you to do.
Oh, sure, but first, don't you think that...
So that is why you are so suspicious with me. You want first the money.
Well, that's the usual way, ain't it?
But of course, I can arrange that. How much do you want?
Oh, how much do you figure this job is worth?
Well, perhaps as much as 50,000 pesetas.
How much is that in United States dollars? I mean, pounds.
About 1,000 pounds?
1,000. I don't think I can do it for that kind of dough.
1,000 pounds is a lot of money, George.
Yeah, but think of the expenses.
What expenses?
Well, things like, this dynamite, for instance. You know, you don't get that stuff for peanuts.
Oh, George, you are teasing me. I will get you all the dynamite you want for nothing.
How about the element of personal risk? This racket ain't exactly the healthiest in the world, neither, you know.
There you are right, George. It is a risky profession to be a fascist saboteur.
That's what I'm telling you.
How much do you want?
Well, I don't see how I can play ball for less than 100,000 of them pesetas.
Very well, we will pay it.
Well, that's swell of you, Toots. How soon can I have the dough?
I will have it here within an hour.
Okay, it's a deal. And then maybe you and me will still have time to go out on a little bender, huh?
Yes, perhaps we will.
Yeah, and look, make it small bills, will you? They're easier to handle.
It's a lot of money, but my friends and I will bring it in a suitcase.
Swell. And one thing, Alina, for this next job, you might have to help me get out of the country for a little while. You know, I got certain arrangements that I got to make.
There will be no trouble there, I can assure you.
Well, that's a real pal, Alina. I won't forget it, neither.
I know you won't, George. Oh, George, there is one thing. Just a little formality so I can be sure to get the money.
Oh, sure, babe. Anything you say.
Would you write a little note for me so they will know I contacted you, you see?
A note? What does the note say?
Oh, just something like, I, Padway, have contacted Elena Villancos, and we are agreed on future procedure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that'll be all right. Okay. I have contacted Elena Villancos, and we are agreed on future procedure. Signed, George Padway. Hey, huh? Okay.
Thank you, George.
Well, I think you better run along now, huh?
Then I will be back at 8 o'clock.
Okay, that'll be okay.
You will be waiting for me?
Don't worry, babe. I'll be here. Brother, will I be here? So now, Harry, you can see why I'm practically killing myself laughing while I'm writing this letter. Of course, while I'm writing that note in Padre's handwriting, I can hardly keep my face straight. You know, it's so right up me alley. Only thing that worries me a little is me conscience, if you can call that what I got a conscience on. It really makes me sore the way this fascist mob I'm hooked up with is kicking the rest of the people around. However, I'm in up to my ears now, too, so I got to think about yours truly first, right? But maybe when I get in a clear someday, I'll figure out a way to get a crack at these guys myself. And I kind of believe me, Harry, these fascists is really a bunch of no-good crumbs. And I guess that'll even have to go for Alina. But now the hour's about up, and I think I hear somebody coming down the hall now. I'll tell you the payoff on all this when I see you in little old New York. In the meantime, Harry, keep your shirt on and try not to die from envy of your old friend Joe Palmer. Okay, babe, I'm coming. Well, right on time, huh?
Yes. Senor Padway, this is Senor Martinez, Senor Fuentero.
Oh, hiya, fellas. Got the old suitcase, huh? Have any trouble getting the dough?
No, no trouble.
Well, maybe we better open it up and count it, huh? Yeah, you know, just in case.
Yes, I think we should. Go on, open it.
Yes, senor.
You know, Elena, I never would have... Hey, what's that Tommy gun doing in there? Where's the dough?
What's the matter? Are you afraid, my fascist friend?
Wait a minute, what about you? Ain't you?
Not quite. I am an agent of the Republic of Spain, Senor Padway. We have been waiting a long time to trap you, my friend, but now we bring you your reward.
Elena, wait a minute. Tell that guy to put that gun away. You gotta let me explain. I ain't no fascist. My name ain't even Padway. My name is Joe Palmer. I'm an American guy. I just come over here to fight for your side. No kidding. You can find it out from your friends in New York. I'm the guy that even killed Padway.
Who wrote the letter to me? Who wrote the note for me tonight in the handwriting that we even compared with all our other correspondence with Padway, just to make sure?
Well, I did, sure, but that's me racket, handwriting, forgery. I'm telling you, I'm Joe Palmer.
Can you prove it?
Sure, I can. Yeah. I guess maybe I can't, huh?
The handwriting.
Yeah. Yes, like I said to Padway, I'm the best in the business. It's kind of funny now, ain't it?
We're wasting time.
Okay. Guess it's no use talking. Guess I've been a heel. I outsmarted myself. But I want you to know one thing. I was really kind of on a level in my own way towards the end, but... Oh, what's the difference? Just one thing I want you to know. For your own information, I'm swearing it. The guy you're bumping off is Joe Palmer of the International Brigade. Palmer. Like the...
Oh, I'm not in it.
Palmer...
A smart agent. One must say that for him.
Yes. He was very, very smart.
And so closes The Palmer Method, starring Ed Gardner, tonight's tale of suspense.
Well, this is Ed Gardner, alias Archie, speaking again. It's been a great pleasure to be on Suspense on account of it's one of my favorite shows. And next week, I hope you'll all be listening into the show like the gang of Duffy's all will be, when the star will be Gene Kelly. Thank you.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Don't forget then next Thursday for Gene Kelly in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines. R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is a terrific episode of Suspense with the Palmer Method, starring Ed Gardner, also in the cast, Hans Conried, John McIntyre, and you heard Joseph Kearns as the Man in Black, as heard on CBS. That's Suspense. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, and then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and you know what? We asked our listeners to text in what they thought your favorite song was, Lisa, from 1968. We're going to play that song now. But interestingly, a lot of people texted in, and a lot of people guessed this song, but not one person guessed this song for you.
That's
they
right.
Guessed it for me.
Exactly.
Which is really interesting because there was, I mean, a lot of
Quite a few people suggested this for Carl, but no one for me.
Right. So this is Lisa's favorite song from 1968. Lisa, there's your favorite song, 1968, Steppenwolf, Born to be Wild.
It's a good one.
You know what? It's so funny that they all thought, everyone that texted in Born to be Wild thought it was my favorite song.
I know. And actually, one of the first people that texted Carl Born to be Wild.
Well, so, you know what? Oh, I mean, so Steppenwolf, Lisa Wolf.
Of course,
I mean,
that wasn't my name then.
Yeah, so we can't take any more submissions for Lisa's song. After the news, we're going to play my favorite song from 1968. You still have time to text in. What do you think my favorite song from 1968 is? We did have a couple of people got it right. Texted in 312-981-7200. That's the number to call in. In our next hour, we are going to tune in to Nick Carter, Master Detective. It was a very long-running detective series, Lisa. Aired from 1943 all the way to 1955. So, yeah, that's a long time to be on the air. I hope we're on the air that long.
For 12 years. I hope so, too.
It's actually 13 years because if you figure 1943 and 1955.
Yeah, depending on when they started.
Yeah, it's like about 13 years on. Yeah, 13-year run.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hour three. Thank you, Roger. It is about 7 minutes after 1 a.m. In this hour, it is Nick Carter, Master Detective, starring Lon Clark from 1948. A little earlier, we asked you to text in what you think Lisa's favorite song from 1968 was, and it was Born to be Wild by Steppenwolf, 1968. And we had a few people get my song right, Lisa.
Yeah, I guess you're an easier mark.
1968, let's take a listen to it right now. That's Marvin Gaye, the great Marvin Gaye, with I Heard It Through the Grapevine. And we did have a couple people had it right. And so those people that did text in I Heard It Through the Grapevine for Carl will receive some Twilight Zone CD sets. And if you enjoyed this, we'll maybe do it again on a future show and win some prizes. It's always fun to give away prizes, right, Lisa?
It's always fun to win.
All right. Well, There's hundreds of songs, right, from 1960.
Oh, sure.
A lot of people thought my song was Hey Jude.
That seemed to be the most common response for
what
you.
What about yours? Yours was
Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Robinson.
Which I actually do love. I'm still a huge fan of The Graduate. I've watched that movie over and over and over. There's something about it that I find fascinating.
But, yeah. But people did say that, but nobody guessed Born to be Wild for you.
Yeah. No, a little, you know, everybody's got a lot of sides to each person.
All right, well, the fun thing is there's lots of years and there's lots of songs. So maybe we'll do this again. Maybe tomorrow we'll try 1969.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, well, all of this is brought to you by the great Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor will reprise his role as Mike Banning in the upcoming film Angel Has Fallen, the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen.
How many fallens are there? I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah, there's a fallen.
Right?
You missed your sound effect there.
I don't know what happened.
So close.
The sound effect was on. I don't know what happened
so
to
close.
It.
So close. I think we may have unplugged that.
Maybe
so
that's why it's unplugged.
Darn it. I don't know how that could have happened.
Man.
The winner will get up. A pair of tickets to see Hair, the rock musical playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago through September 17th.
Speaking of hair, Lisa, I think I need a haircut. What do you think?
You never need a haircut, and you always get a haircut.
It's kind of long right
now. It's not long. It's like a half an inch long.
I'm going over by my sister's tomorrow. Maybe she'll cut it.
There's nothing to cut.
She'll put a bowl on it and then cut all around
the bowl. You don't have enough to go around a bowl.
All right.
There's nothing there.
The number to call, 312-981-7200. Win some tickets to see Hair at the Mercury Theater. Here's a hint. This actor played King... what is it? Leonidas. King Leonidas in 300.
And of course, Spartans have the reputation to get it.
I don't read too good, so good sometimes. King Leonidas in 300. Do you know who that great actor is?
I don't think
is?
You need a haircut. You need glasses. Is what you need.
Right. I do need glasses. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
All righty. This is the WGN Radio Theater, show 199. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that again.
And of course, Spartans have the reputation to consider.
Mm-hmm. And we have Robert on the line. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, great. I've been trying a long time to win. I can't believe
I
finally have.
I'm so glad. You know, I love the name Robert because it's my dad's name. So it's a good good name. Yeah. Robert, who is that actor?
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler's exactly right.
I get
right.
mistaken for him a lot. That
Gerard Butler or Robert?
Oh, Gerard.
You look a lot like Gerard. I always think that. Every time I see you, I think Gerard Butler.
He and I both work out.
I bet.
Yeah.
Robert is the winner here. You have won two tickets to see Hair. It's a rock musical playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago. They do great shows. I see all of their shows. I love that theater. It's running from July 27th through September 17th. Great music. Let the sun shine in. Don't start singing, Carl. Good morning, starshine. Good stuff. You can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com, and you can check out their website. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I hope you
Robert.
Love the show.
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Great, thanks.
All right.
Okay,
bye-bye. It's time for Nick Carter, Master Detective, first seen in Street and Smith's dime novels and pulp magazines. And like Sherlock Holmes, Nick Carter solved cases too tough for police, and he earned the moniker Master Detective. And Lon Clark played Nick Carter through the entire 13-year run, 1943 all the way to 1955. And for most of its run, it was sponsored by Old Dutch Cleanser. I don't think that's around anymore, Lisa. Old Dutch Cleanser. Maybe? What do you think?
I don't know. I can picture it for
some
reason.
I don't think so.
I'm going to check it out.
He had an assistant named Patsy Bowen, which is played by Helen Choate and Charlotte Manson. And also he had a reporter friend, Scubby Wilson, played by John Kane. And then there was the head of the police department, Sergeant Matheson, played by Ed Latimer. And Walter Pigeon played Nick Carter, Lisa, in three movies for MGM. So very popular detective character. And we have a radio episode for you now from June 13th, 1948. This is called The Case of the Unexpected Corpse. Here's part one of Nick Carter, Master Detective.
New post-war Old Dutch Cleanser, famous for chasing dirt, presents Nick Carter, famous for chasing crime. Every week at this time, two great names are joined as new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser brings you one of the most resourceful and daring characters in all detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Now, let's have the truth, Whitey. Where did you get that suit of clothes?
The fella that got crooked, he took them off and gave them to me himself.
Uh-huh, and I suppose he gave you his shirt and socks and necktie, too?
Sure. He said I'd need him to go with his suit. And he stopped the car so I could put them on.
Was that when you tried to kill him?
No, Chief. That's when he tried to kill me.
Oh, Nick, this isn't getting us anywhere.
You're wrong, Patsy. Now I know who really killed Mr. Ratwell.
Now, The Case of the Unexpected Corpse. Today's adventure starring Lon Clark as Nick Carter. Brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning as Nick and Patsy enter the office of Sheriff Tabor in the little town of Plain City, Texas.
Hiya, Sheriff.
Hello, Sheriff Tabor.
Well, I'll be dog. Nick Carter and Patsy Bone. What are you two doing out this way?
Why, we're on our way back home from California, Sheriff.
And since we had to come through Texas anyway, I reminded Nick of that invitation you gave us 3 years ago. Remember?
Sure, I remember. And you got here just at the right time. We had a murder last night.
Oh, now, wait, Sheriff. This is purely a social visit.
A murder? Here in Plain City?
Oh, about 10 miles east of here. A big oil man from Dallas named Leonard Atwell. He was shot and killed by some hitchhiker.
Now, look, Sheriff.
Well, how do you know it was a hitchhiker, Sheriff?
Well, because we know Atwell started out from Dallas alone.
Uh-huh.
And when we found the body, it was behind the wheel of his car with powder burns and a bullet hole in the right side of his head.
Well, that sounds more like suicide.
No, it couldn't have been that. The gun was gone, so was Atwell's money, his watch, and the big gold signet ring that he always wore.
You found any clues yet?
No, can't tell yet. I had everything that was in the car brought up here to my office and spread them out on those big tables over there. Come on, I'll show you.
All right.
I put the tools from the car in this table here, see?
Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder what I used this piece of rubber tubing for.
Yeah, search me. Now, over here, these were the clothes he was wearing.
I see. Hey, what's this little piece of adhesive tape?
Well, that was on his right hand. There was a little scratch there.
Oh. Now, look at this piece of tape. Hmm? See that flaw in the weave where it was torn off the roll?
Yeah.
Thing like that might be a clue.
Sure. Now, on this table here, I got his suitcases and the stuff that was in them, clothes mostly.
This looks interesting. Last will and testament of Leonard Frank Atwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he left everything to his wife in Detroit. Mm-hmm.
Thought he was from Dallas.
Well, he was, but he deserted his wife in Detroit 18 years ago. There's a letter there in that envelope marked to be opened in case of my death, asking her to forgive him and all that stuff.
Looks of it, he must have been carrying that around a long time.
Yeah, I guess so.
I suppose a man like that carried a lot of insurance.
$150,000 worth.
Oh, golly.
Took out the policy only a couple of months ago. Right here in Plain City, by the way.
$150,000, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Who gets it?
Well, the wife, I guess. She's the sole heir, and the policy's made out to his estate.
Hey, Sheriff, I don't see any first aid kit here.
No, there wasn't one in the car. Just the stuff you see here.
Well, then where'd he get that strip of adhesive tape? It's perfectly clean. Couldn't have had it on more than a few minutes.
Well, maybe when he cut his hand, he stopped at a filling station or a lunchroom, and they fixed it up for him.
Say, Patsy, now that sure sounds reasonable.
Yeah, maybe if you can find that filling station or lunchroom, you can get a description of the man who was riding with that well just before he was killed.
Say, that's a great idea. I'll do that.
Couldn't have driven more than a few miles without getting the tape soiled, and if he should be...
I'm sorry to butt in, Sheriff.
That's okay, Buck. Folks, this is Buck Henderson, my deputy. There's Mr. Carter and Miss Bowen.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Hello, Buck.
This telegram just come, and I thought it might be important.
Oh, thank you, Buck. Say, Buck.
Yes, Sheriff?
I want you to hop in your car and start out on the highway toward Dallas. Stop at every filling station and lunchroom along the way and find out if Atwell stopped there last night.
Good gravy, Sheriff. Dallas is 290 miles.
Never mind. You just do what I... Well, I'll be dogged.
Something wrong?
Why, this telegram is from the chief of police in Dallas. You see, I wired him to send someone out to Atwell's home address and tell the folks there what had happened.
Well?
Well, the chief says they ain't no such address. It's a vacant lot. We came out here to see you, Colonel Gardner, because you knew Mr. Atwell better than anyone in the county.
Well, yes. In the course of our business dealings, we became very close friends.
Uh-huh.
His death has been a terrible shock to me.
You have any idea why he should have given a false address?
No, but I'm sure it wasn't done with any intent to deceive. I've never known a more honorable gentleman than Leonard Atwell.
Oh? Then you didn't know he deserted his wife?
His wife? Atwell told me he was a bachelor.
Well, you'll get a chance to meet the bachelor's wife this afternoon.
She's coming here?
Yep. When I notified her of his death, she wired back that she was taking the next plane.
Colonel Gardner, would you mind telling us the nature of your business dealings with Mr. Atwell?
Not at all. He bought some oil leases from me. $130,000 worth.
Well, you didn't sign those leases over to him without getting the money, did you?
As a matter of fact, it did.
What?
He gave me a certified check for $40,000 at the time, and he was on his way here last night to pay the balance and pick up his note.
You mean the hitchhiker who killed him got away with $90,000?
Oh, no, Miss Bowen. It wouldn't have been in cash, of course.
Oh.
This sure ought to be a warning to you, Colonel, not to go picking up folks on the road.
I'm afraid I'm too old to change my ways now, Sheriff.
You make a habit of doing that, Colonel?
Why, every tramp in the country knows that this ranch is good for a meal and a night's lodging. Why, last winter, an old hobo got sick and died here. And the colonel even paid for his funeral.
Sheriff, there's little enough that we can do for those less fortunate than ourselves. Excuse me, please. Hello. Yes. Yes, he's here. Just a minute. For you, Sheriff.
Oh, thanks, Colonel. Must be from the courthouse. Hello? Yes, this is Sheriff Tabor. You did? When? Yeah? Fine, I'll come right back to town. Oh, Nick, we got him.
A murderer?
Yep. Caught him trying to peddle Atwell's ringing watch.
Is it somebody from around here?
No, it's some old bum, just like I thought. I'm sorry to rush off, Colonel, but we got a killer to take care of.
You got me wrong, Chief Honest. I never croaked nobody.
Then where'd you get his watch and ring?
I told you, I found
it. And that suit he was wearing, I suppose you found that too, huh?
Yeah, that's right, Chief. It was all rolled up in a bundle, like at the side of the road.
Now, look, you, whatever your name is.
It's Morgan, Chief. Whitey Morgan.
Okay, Morgan. Now, why don't you open up and tell us what you did with the gun?
I never had no gun. I'm a bum, sure, but I never hurt nobody in all my life.
You hitched a ride with a gray-haired guy in a big sedan last night, didn't you?
No, I never
did. You pulled a gun and you made him drive off on a side road.
I've never seen the guy, honestly.
And after you killed him, you took his watch and ring. Then you opened up his suitcases and got yourself a new suit of clothes.
No,
didn't you, huh?
No, I swear I didn't.
No.
Hey, look, Chief. You wouldn't send me to the pen for something I didn't do, would you?
It ain't the pen you're headed for, brother. It's the electric chair. But Nick, he's bound to be the guy. How else would he get Atwell's watch and ring? And those clothes, they were Atwell's, too.
Okay, Sheriff, but why didn't he have any money in his pockets? You said Atwell always carried a lot of cash.
Yes, but you didn't think he really did find that stuff, do you, Nick?
No. If ever I saw a man trying to lie out of a bad situation, it was Morgan. But, well, that's pretty slim evidence in which to convict him of murder.
Hey, Sheriff.
Yes?
Sheriff, I found it.
The place where Atwell got the adhesive tape?
Well, I don't know about that, but he stopped at a filling station about 30 miles up the line and had the oil changed in his car while he was eating dinner.
Good work, Buck.
Yeah, and there was somebody with him, too, sort of an old gent with white hair.
Whitey Morgan. I knew it.
I got the kid from the filling station out in the office. You want to talk to him?
Well, I can't right now. Not right now, but Miss Atwell's due in about 5 minutes, and I've got to go down and meet her. Come on, Nick. The undertaking parlors are at the back of the store here, Miss Atwell.
Oh.
I want you to identify the body, just for the record.
I can't believe it. After all these years, poor Leonard.
Judging by the letter he left, he must have still thought a great deal of you, Mrs. Atwell.
Yes, I don't suppose he ever married again, or he'd have left the money to his second wife.
Yeah, quite a pile, too. $150,000 on the insurance alone.
Well, I can't imagine Leonard getting rich. Why, 20 years ago, he couldn't even hold a job.
Right through this door, ma'am.
All right.
The blue casket over there.
And to think everybody used to call him lazy and shiftless. I guess now they'll...
What's the matter, Mrs. Atwell?
Why, that's not...
Not your husband?
Yes, of course that's Leonard, but...
But what?
Well, naturally, he's changed a lot in 18 years. But that's definitely Leonard Atwell.
Sure it is, Nick. I know him myself. Everybody in town did.
All right, then, since we've identified the victim, suppose we go back to the jail and see what the kid from the filling station can tell us. You're sure you'd know this man if you saw him again, Whitaker?
Oh, sure. Him and Mr. Atwell stood around waiting while I finished changing the oil, and I got a right good look at him.
Now, Whitaker, when my deputy brings the suspect in here, I don't want you to say anything till I ask you.
Oh, no, sir.
By the way, did you notice a strip of adhesive tape on Mr. Atwell's right hand?
I don't think he had none, or I'd have noticed it when he paid me for the oil.
Here they are.
Oh, Chief. Chief, you're going to let me go now? That's why you had me brung in here, ain't it? So as you can turn me loose, huh?
Well, that all depends, Whitey. Do you still say that you didn't hitch a ride last night with a gray-haired man in a big sedan?
Oh, Chief, so help me, I never seen the guy nor the car neither.
How about that, Whittaker?
No, no, he's a liar, Sheriff. That's the fella that was with Mr. Atwell when they stopped at the filling station. I'll swear it on a stack of Bibles a foot high.
With the filling station attendant's identification, the case against Whitey Morgan seems complete. We'll see what happens in just a minute.
Lisa, that is definitely an organ right there.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that.
Mutual organ there on Nick Carter, Master Detective. That's the case of the unexpected corpse starring Lon Clark. We'll get back to it in just a moment. First, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, Lisa Wolf.
All right, Carl Amari.
Yeah, I like that piano playing there. Pretty good, right?
You're good. You know, somebody mentioned on our Facebook page that when Bill Curtis does our opening, that he hears you him say Earl Amari instead of Carl Amari.
Earl?
Yeah.
I'm so, like that Earl of the Duke of Earl.
Yeah,
Duke,
like it sounds Duke, like Earl Duke, instead of Carl.
Duke of Earl, Earl, Earl. Remember that song?
Yeah. So, but I don't hear it. I only hear Carl.
I hear Wolf.
Lisa Wolf.
Says your name, Wolf.
You sound like you're vomiting.
No, he just says it, and he just clearly says all the syllables, Wolf.
Yes, he has it. He has Lisa, a way.
You don't listen. We don't mess with Bill Curtis. The guy is a legend.
Oh, right. Well, however he says it,
he can
the right
say
way,
our name. He can
I'm
call
concerned.
Me
Earl.
Coral. You know, Coral Amory.
You know what? I bet Coral you've been called worse than that.
Coral Amory. Now back to calamari, which is an hors d'oeuvre on every Italian man. I wouldn't care what he... It's Bill Curtis, so he
That's
can
right.
say it any way he wants
well,
to say.
Well, I think he says it correctly, so we're going to go with
it's
that.
Just fine. Whatever Mr. It's Mr. Curtis to us, by
right.
the way. It's not Bill. It's
no.
Mr.
Have you ever met him?
I have never had the pleasure, and I know you have.
No, I actually didn't meet
you
him.
You did a...
I was in his home, but I did not meet him.
He wasn't there? He was just...
No.
It was a Curtis production that you were doing,
It was.
Though?
I think he was avoiding me. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't... I don't know. I didn't see him. I don't know if he was
He wasn't
there or
around
not.
That day.
Not for me. I was there
I
a few days.
I bet he has a beautiful home.
It's a beautiful house.
I'm sure,
sure
it is. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
I would like to be invited to the Curtis home someday.
Yeah. Well, you know, keep wishing. Sometimes dreams
it's
come true.
Not going to happen. all right. Well, it is time for the conclusion now of the case of the unexpected corpse on Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Now back to the case of the unexpected corpse. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch cleanser. After a sleepless night in the county jail, Whitey Morgan has sent word that he's ready to tell the truth, and the sheriff has asked Nick to accompany him to Whitey's cell.
Now, let's have the confession, Whitey. You admit you were lying about where you got that suit of clothes.
Yeah, Chief. I didn't find him. This fella at the Crowtee gave him to me.
You what?
He did, so help me. Right after he picked me up on the highway... He said it was an old suit that was getting too tight for him.
That suit was brand new.
I don't care. That's what he told me.
I suppose the shirt and socks and the necktie, they were too tight for him too, huh?
Well, he said I'd need them to go with the suit. Then later, when it got good and dark, he stopped the car so as I could get out and put them on.
And that's when you killed him?
No. No, honest, Chief. That's when he tried to kill me.
Now, wait a minute.
He did. I put on the clothes he gave me, and then when I was getting back in the car... He slugged me with a wrench. I seen it coming too late to duck, and that's all I know till I come to in a ditch someplace else.
Someplace else?
Yeah. He must have hauled me there in the car and dumped me out for dead.
Yeah, so he got you all dressed up so you'd die happy, huh? Even gave you his watch and ring.
I don't know nothing about the watch and ring. When I come to, I was wearing them.
Whitey, when you were in the car with Atwell... Did you notice a piece of adhesive tape on his right hand?
No. There was nothing on his hand.
You're sure?
Yeah.
What difference does it make, Nick? You're not going to swallow this crazy story, are you?
Why didn't you tell us this at first, Whitey?
Well, when it chief here said the guy had been croaked. I got scared. I didn't think he'd believe me.
You bet I wouldn't. And take it from me, brother, neither will the jury.
Hi, Sheriff.
Hi, Nick. Hello, Patsy.
Hi.
Well, where have you two been all afternoon?
Oh, lots of places. The post office, the photographers, the garage where you put Atwell's car.
What'd you go there for?
Wanted to check the speedometer. It registers 9,485 miles.
And that boy changed the oil in the car at 9,427, according to the sticker inside the door.
So what?
Well, from that filling station to where the body was found is a distance of 24 miles. From that spot to the garage here is 10 miles. That's 34 altogether.
Yeah?
But the car had been driven 58 miles.
See what I mean, Sheriff? Atwell must have driven 24 miles out of his way for that piece of adhesive tape.
For the love of Pete, Nick, I think it's your touch on that subject of that tape.
We found something else, too, Sheriff.
Yeah?
A spot of blood on the floor in the rear of Atwell's car.
I'm going to have it analyzed to see if it could possibly have come from that cut on Whitey's head.
Oh, Nick, don't tell me that you take any stock in that wild story of his. Why, any 5-year-old kid could make up a better lie than that.
And so could Whitey, unless it happens to be true.
But he's got to be lying. Why would Atwell give all that stuff to a tramp, then hit him over the head and throw him out of the car?
Look, let me ask you a couple of questions, Sheriff. You said the suitcases were both neatly packed and locked. Why would Whitey repack them after killing Atwell and stealing the clothes?
Why, I...
And what happened to the money Atwell always carried?
Okay, I give up. But do you know the answers?
No, not all of them. But I can guess at a few. For instance, Atwell took out a lot of insurance only 2 months ago, payable to his estate.
Yeah?
Now, suppose Atwell planned to stage a fake accident with a car. And suppose he planned on having Whitey's body found behind the wheel, wearing his clothes, his watch, and his ring.
Yes, but he couldn't get away with it. Everybody in town knew Atwell.
Yeah, Whitey and Atwell were both about the same size and age. They both had gray hair. And if the body were badly burned...
Burned?
Remember that piece of rubber tubing? It had been just the thing for siphoning gasoline out of the tank to be sure that the fire burned everything it was supposed to.
Why, every insurance company knows that trick, Sheriff. It's been done 100 times.
Yes, but Atwell didn't do that. There wasn't any accident. The car wasn't burned.
All right, maybe something went wrong at the last minute, and the plan was changed.
Remember
how surprised Mrs. Atwell looked when she saw the body?
Yes, I know, but she explained that.
Yes, and she has some more explaining to do. I've been in touch with the Detroit police. And the surprise she got yesterday is nothing to the one I have in store for her today. Mrs. Atwell, you recognize this picture?
Well, where did you get that? The Detroit police found it in the bedroom of your apartment and transmitted it here to Nick by wire photo.
Isn't that a picture of your husband?
Well, yes, but... Well, it was taken more than 20 years ago, and he...
Let me see it, Nick. Them. Yeah, that's Atwell, all right. But I wouldn't have known it unless I was looking for the resemblance.
Now, look at this picture.
What is it? An ear?
Right, Sheriff. The left ear of Leonard Atwell enlarged 50 times from that snapshot.
You see, Mrs. Atwell, ears are as individual as fingerprints. They never change from birth to death, except in size.
Say, I didn't know that.
And this ear, Leonard Atwell's ear, is an entirely different shape from that of the man you identified yesterday as your husband.
All right, I lied about it. I knew that wasn't Leonard. But,
But, Nick, it is Atwell. I know him myself.
You mean you knew the man who posed as Leonard Atwell?
I don't understand. Why should anyone do that?
There's one obvious reason, Mrs. Atwell. That $150,000 insurance money.
Hey, I get it, Nick. He was going to fake the accident like you said and split the money with her. But then she killed him in order to keep it all to herself.
You're accusing me of...
murder, you bet I am.
No, Sheriff. According to the Detroit police, Mrs. Atwell was attending a bridge party the night of the murder. I checked that angle.
Well, she could have hired somebody to do it for her, couldn't she?
Perhaps, but I don't think so. There was big money behind this impersonation.
Nick, I have an idea. Didn't the colonel say that he signed those oil leases over to Atwell absolutely?
Yes, in return for a check, a promissory note for the balance.
Then maybe that was the real reason behind it. And the insurance was only part of the scheme to carry out the idea that he was a rich man.
If you think he was cheating the colonel, you're barking up the wrong tree, Patsy. Nobody gets ahead of that old bird.
Yeah, but the dead man did get absolute title to $130,000 worth of oil leases. And all he actually paid out was $40,000.
Well, even if the colonel never gets another cent, he's doing all right.
What do you mean?
Why, those leases ain't worth anything. He couldn't have peddled them to anybody around here for more than $5,000 or $10,000.
So that's it. Come on, Patsy.
Huh? Hey, where are you going?
To look for a roll of adhesive tape.
My first aid kit, Mr. Carter.
Oh, it's an awfully big one, isn't it?
On a ranch, you never know what may happen, Miss Bowen.
May I look through the kit, Colonel Gardner?
Certainly, Mr. Carter. But I'd like to know why you're so interested.
I'm interested because the man who was murdered two nights ago had a fresh grip of adhesive tape on his right hand. And I'm wondering whether it came from here.
Well, Atwell never got to my ranch. I told you he was on his way.
I know that's what you said, Colonel. But there was an extra 24 miles in a speedometer. In other words, he must have made a side trip of 12 miles and back.
And this ranch is exactly 12 miles off the main highway.
Are you calling me a liar, sir?
Worse than that, Colonel. I'm calling you a murderer.
Ridiculous. Leonard Atwell was my friend.
The man who called himself Leonard Atwell was your stooge. You paid his expenses for 4 months while he built up the illusion of being a wealthy oil promoter.
You're out of your mind. Why should I do such a thing?
So that he could take out a big life insurance policy payable to his estate, and then make a will, starting with the usual clause about paying all just debts.
Meaning that promissory note you hold, Colonel.
There's a neat way to collect $90,000 for your worthless oil leases.
You're imagining things.
Maybe so. The way I see it, the plan went like this. Atwell picked up somebody who roughly resembled him, dressed him in his clothes, then knocked him out. This man was Whitey Morgan, who was to be found dead in Atwell's car. And would be taken for Atwell because his body would be too burned for positive identification.
Then you and Atwell would share the money you would collect from Atwell's estate because of that note for $90,000 you held.
But when Atwell, with Morgan's unconscious body in his car, came here to get your help in faking the accident, you decided that a substitute wasn't as effective as the real thing, so you killed Atwell.
This is ridiculous.
Then you emptied Atwell's pockets to make it look like a robbery. Then you took the unconscious Morgan miles away and dumped him by the side of the highway, knowing he'd be the logical suspect in Atwell's murder. And you didn't burn the car because it was no longer necessary, with a real Atwell dead in it.
How do you expect to prove any such wild story?
Atwell had no adhesive tape on his hand when he picked up Morgan. He did have it when he was found dead. If that tape came from your first aid kit, it'll prove he was here after he had set Morgan up for the fake killing.
A very interesting theory, Carter, but not proof.
You'll hand me the roll of adhesive tape from your kit. I think it'll give me the proof I need.
Very well. All right.
What?
Get your hands up, both of you.
Nick, he had a gun in the kit.
Yes.
I put it there when I went out of the room to get this kit, Carter. I thought there was something odd about your wanting to inspect my first aid supplies.
Why? Because you remember the last time you used that kit was just before the murder?
A very shrewd guess, Mr. Carter.
So you did kill that man, just as Nick said.
With this very gun, my dear. Too bad that you have to be so clever, Mr. Carter.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean that you two are the only people who suspect I killed that stupid fool. So I'm going to kill both of you. Right now.
With his hands in the air, Nick hasn't a chance of reaching his own gun before Colonel Gardner's finger closes on the trigger. We'll see what happens in just a minute. Now for the conclusion of The Case of the Unexpected Corpse. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch cleanser. In the living room of Colonel Gardner's ranch house, Nick and Patsy stand with their hands in the air, staring at the revolver in the colonel's hands as he says,
"You two are the only ones who suspect I killed that stupid fool. So I'm going to kill both of you. Right now."
You're wrong, Colonel. The sheriff knows all about this. I told him not half an hour ago.
I'm too good a poker player to fall for a bluff like that, Carter.
This is no bluff, Colonel. Drop that gun.
Table, you.
Yes, Colonel. I've been standing outside that window. That was a mighty interesting confession.
And thanks for telling us that this is the gun you killed your partner with.
Why, Nick, you were right about this adhesive tape. It does match that strip on the dead man's hand. You can tell by that same flaw in the weave.
So, even if we didn't have the gun, that would prove he was here just before he was murdered.
You're pretty smart, Nick. No mistake.
By the way, Colonel, will you tell us why Atwell, or whatever his name was, had that adhesive tape on his hand?
He scratched it while he was getting his suitcase out of the luggage compartment. Didn't amount to anything, but it was bleeding some.
Well, Colonel, you ought to be right proud. You'll go down in history as the first man who ever hung himself with a piece of adhesive tape.
Well, Patsy, I hope we can get home without any more distractions.
Nick, do you suppose they'll ever find out what happened to the real Leonard Atwell?
Well, Patsy, that came out in the colonel's confession.
Huh?
Remember the sheriff telling us about that old bum that died on the colonel's ranch last winter?
What? He was Leonard Atwell?
Nobody else. When the colonel went through his effects, he found that letter to his wife asking her to forgive him for deserting her 18 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That's where the colonel got the idea for cashing in on those worthless oil leases.
Well, then it's no wonder the false Atwell resembled the picture of the real one. The colonel knew the type of person he needed for the impersonation.
And they found him in Hollywood, a broken-down movie extra with a shady reputation.
Uh-huh. You know, Nick, I bet he never knew to the last minute that he was cast as the corpse in the colonel's little drama.
Well, that corpse was an unexpected shock to almost everyone. Mrs. Atwell expected it to be her husband. The imposter expected it to be Whitey.
And only the colonel knew who the unexpected corpse really was, and he wasn't telling.
And now, Nick, how about the adventure new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser is going to bring us next week?
Well, Mike, if you were a young man with all the money you wanted, and if you had everything in the world to live for, can you think of any reason why you would want to die?
I can't think of a reason for wanting to die under any circumstances.
Well, a young man named Miles Kincaid had a different attitude.
Yes, he was found drowned in a lake, and yet he wasn't drowned in a lake.
And before the case was over, Nick uncovered the reason for not just one, but for three mysterious deaths.
Well, it sounds as though we're in for a lot of excitement as well as mystery. What do you call the adventure, Nick?
I call it The Case of the Flowery Farewell.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, is presented each week at this time by the Cudahy Packing Company. It is produced and directed by Jock McGregor and is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. Charlotte Manson is featured as Patsy. Today's script was written by Jim Parsons. Original music is played by Henry Silverne. This program is fictional, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This is Michael Fitzmaurice saying, when minutes count, use new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
All right, that's Nick Carter, Master Detective, June 13th, 1948. The Case of the Unexpected Corpse, starring Lon Clark as Nick Carter. And it was sponsored by Old Dutch Cleanser, and Lisa checked it out, and...
Well, our listeners checked it out as well, and it is still sold. You can buy it at Walmart and Amazon and some other places.
Wow, I'm going to buy some Old Dutch Cleanser.
You?
Yeah, because
do you clean?
I clean.
Yourself?
Absolutely.
Or do you have somebody help you?
No, I clean. Every single day I clean my place. But I do have a gal that comes in once a month and sort of does the... But I'm going to get the Old Dutch... She just like cleans, you know. I guess you call it deep cleaning maybe, you know, all that kind of stuff. The refrigerator and, you know, the microwave and stuff like that. But and the floors and everything. But I'm telling you what. I'm going to get some
Dutch
cleanser. I'm getting some Old Dutch cleanser.
Well, you try it out. Let me know how it is. You know what? It's been around for a long time. It's probably very good.
I'm sure it is.